Hello.
Susan, thank you. What a brilliant accent. I was getting all sweaty on my back and looking for my bottle of milk then. I used to get really nervous at school. Both times that I went. Someone said, Martin's means business this morning. He's got his sports jacket on. The truth is, I'm just too fat to fit into any jumper at the moment. Apart from my Christmas jumper. And it gets a bit embarrassing when you're wearing it in March, doesn't it? So, anyway, that's the truth. Praise the Lord, eh? So we've got three churches now. Yeah. Ah, this is easy. Should we just all stay at home and call it church? So should we just pray for them now? Should we pray for Chris and Keena, who will probably finish their meeting now, for Tom and Stacey. Lord, we thank you for Chris and Keena there in Tartu. We thank you for the beautiful group that are meeting in their house this morning. They're probably eating together now. We pray that you'd really bless them and that you'd pour out your Holy Spirit upon them. We pray that as we go to visit them, we would carry your power and they would have a brilliant time and that people would come to know you and be saved and be delivered, Lord, and come to heaven and be gathered into your family. We pray, Lord, for Tom and Stacey as well, and for the guys who were there serving them this morning, leading the worship and helping. And we pray that you'd pour out your Holy Spirit on them and they'd have a fantastic morning, a sense of your presence, hearing your voice, loving each other, feeling fed, feeling spoken to by you. Father, thank you for your holy church. And bless us this morning, Lord, as we read your word, as we finish off this morning. Thank you that the tea bag's been brewing, and now it's time for tea. And we pray it satisfies and refreshes in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 1. I'm going to do from verse 8 to verse 17. Verse 8 starts like this. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I've planned many times to come to you, but I have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among all the other Gentiles. I am bound both to Greeks and to non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. Amen. First the Jew and then the Gentile. That's how it came, that's how it is. And then last the Jew as well. You know that in history God spoke to Abraham and promised to bless him and make his descendants as numerous as the stars of heaven and the sand on the seashore. And he blessed Abraham's kids, Isaac and Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, and the nation of Israel was born, and God blessed them and spoke to them and gave them his commandments and his laws and made them a mighty, powerful nation, especially under David and Solomon, and has always been with his chosen people. Oh, that's nice. Well done, guys. That looks very nice. Through the nation of Israel, as God promised Abraham, through your offspring, all the nations of the world, including us in Teesside Park, will be blessed through your offspring, because one of his offspring was called Jesus, the Savior of the Jews and the Gentiles, the Savior of the whole world. And the gospel came, Jesus came, definitely just ministering to the Jews. He told his disciples, don't go to any Gentiles or any even Samaritan town. Go rather to the lost sheep. They were still lost, you see. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. And preach to them first. The gospel came to them, and that's exactly what happened in the first century. gospel. They always went to the synagogue first, preached the gospel, preached about Jesus, preached the good news of his death and resurrection. He's been the answer and fulfillment of all the prophets and all the promises. And half the people in the synagogue, this is what happened over and over again, half the people of the synagogue believed or wanted to know more and started to follow Paul. Half the other people were a bit narked and religious and couldn't see it and attacked Paul. And that's how it went. Then it went from there. Paul and the early church broke out of just preaching in the synagogues and started hiring halls and just preaching in the streets and preaching to the non-Jews. And they started getting saved as well. And so first the Jew and then the Gentile. And when we get to it, you know, in the end, you'll read through Romans that later, after the gospel came out of Jerusalem and went into Europe, and all of Europe was saved. And then from Europe, the gospel went to the ends of the earth, all the islands and the different continents. And now it's coming back from all the different continents, and it's coming back to Europe. And don't we need it? Coming back to Europe, and there'll be a great revival in Europe and back to Jerusalem. Then we'll all go home. That sounds good. And there'll be a massive ingathering of all the Jews again. They'll be saved, it says, in the end. It said, Paul says later in Romans, if they're cutting off meant salvation for us, what will their inclusion mean but life from the dead? So we've got some awesome years ahead of us, haven't we? Some exciting years as we race towards Jesus coming back. But some of us probably will go to him before he comes back. Who knows, unless he comes back this afternoon. But probably not, because I think those things need to happen. So anyway, but he could override me on that one. And believe me, you'll know if he does. He starts his passage like this. First, I thank my God. Wow, what a great way to start. And that's the way we should start our year. That's the way we should start every single day of our lives. First, I thank my God. He's got problems, he's got issues, he's got prison, he's got wounds and beatings. But he's thanking God. And brothers and sisters, that's the way to be a Christian. That's the way to live. Number one's always number one. And thanking God is so important, isn't it? Paul says later, in whatever circumstances you find yourself, thank God, because that is his will for you. His will for you is primarily worship him, thank him. Wake up on the morning. There's so many things to thank God for, isn't there? So many things, no matter what circumstance you're in. It could always be worse, a lot worse. And there's many things to thank God for. We should thank God every day for our health and strength. If we can walk and we're not in a wheelchair, we should thank God for our life, the day of life that he's given us, for our friends, for our family, for everything. We should thank him. And I really mean this. It's not like, oh yeah, that'd be nice. No, we do it every day. The first thing me and Margaret do when we wake up, Margaret moves the cigar and the brandy off the bed. And then we start to thank God, you know. Thank you, God, for this new day. Thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for each other. Thank you for the children. Thank you for health and strength. And we pray for the family, you know. We spend 14 hours in that bed before we get up. No, we don't. We spend a few minutes, but every day, brothers and sisters, thank God, because he's worthy and it's right, and that changes your life. There's always something to thank God for, and even if you're in a terrible situation, do you know what? It's a challenge and it's an act of faith to thank God for it. Thank God for your nasty boss and your unsaved husband. And I know it sounds a bit weird, but if you do that, somehow it releases blessing and God can work in a different way. You know, one of the things me and Margaret did recently on our anniversary was we went to Amsterdam. You know, we've been through Amsterdam hundreds and hundreds of times through Schiphol Airport, connecting in planes. But we've never actually been into Amsterdam City. So I said, I'd love to start a church in Amsterdam at some point. But anyway, save that for the prayer meeting. But, you know, we went to Amsterdam and I thought, wow, what a fascinating city. I loved it. And we always loved Corrie ten Boom. We wanted to visit Corrie ten Boom's house that's in Haarlem, just outside of Amsterdam, the hiding place. You know, she hid the Jewish people during the Second World War, her and her family, and they were all arrested. Most of her family were killed in concentration camps and prisons, but she came out and she lived to be 90, I think, or something, or preach the gospel all over the world, in the jungles and all sorts. This little old lady, she came to England many times and ministered in York with David Watson. You know what? What a fantastic woman. So anyway, we went to the hiding place, and Margaret crawled in. It's still there. I've got photographs of Margaret's rear end, if you'd like to see it. Crawling into the hiding place. It was absolutely awesome. It was brilliant. And, you know, when Corrie and her sister Betsy first went into Ravensbrück concentration camp, where 90,000 women were murdered, they went into these barracks that were horrifically filled with filth. And, you know, they had big bunks where, you know, 50 women were lying on them trying to get some sleep on this rancid straw, filthy straw, filled with fleas. They'd sort of got on the bed and then they jumped up, bitten to pieces instantly. And they said, "Oh, no, fleas!" And Betsy was encouraging Corrie all the way along spiritually. You know, she's a little bit further ahead of her spiritually all the way through the life. And Betsy was saying, "Corrie, let's try and thank God for every... Look, thank God we're together. Yeah, we thank God for that. Yeah, we thank God that, you know, we're still alive and that we can share Jesus with the women in here. Yeah, thank God. We thank God for that. And thank God for these fleas." And Corrie said, "No, hang on, Betsy. Let's not be stupid. I'm not thanking God for these fleas." But, you know, later, they'd smuggled the Bible in, which they thanked God for. They had a tiny full Bible. And they started running two services a day in those barracks. And many, many women found Jesus and heaven and stepped into the kingdom of heaven before they went to heaven in the gas chambers. Many of them found Jesus. And as they were running the services, they thanked God for the supernatural protection that the guards never came into their barracks. And one day she heard one of the guards say, "There's no way I'm going in there. Here, you take that in there. It's absolutely filled with fleas." And then Corrie, okay, God. Thank you for the fleas that have kept this barracks free from all soldiers so we can preach the gospel. Amen. You never know what God is doing in the hard circumstances of your life. But if you thank him for it, he can work miracles around it. First, I thank my God for all of you because your faith has been reported all over the world. It's faith that gets reported all over the world, actually, isn't it? He doesn't say your religion is being reported all over the world. A religion's been here since Adam and Eve, since they started sowing fig leaves together. The world's had religion up to its back ears, you know. There's plenty of religion around. That doesn't get reported all over the world. But actually, faith does. Real faith in God, real relationship with God, which sees miracles and signs and wonders, God acting. Yeah, faith does get reported all over the world. And, you know, we need faith, don't we, brothers and sisters? You know, we're singing it. I believe. We do believe. We will believe, and because we believe, we take steps of faith on everything that's written in the Bible and the promises of Jesus and so on. Who believes Jesus actually changes lives miraculously here when we share the gospel? He really does. Who believes Jesus heals the sick and does miracles for them as they come to him with their sicknesses? Yeah, just as he did in the Bible, because he hasn't changed. He hasn't changed his ministry. Oh, I'm into something else now. No, Jesus' ministry was perfect from day one, and he always drove out demons. Hey, don't let anyone mention about spooks and things without driving them out. Drive them out. They have no place in our house now. And heal the sick. Heal the sick, because faith is what gets reported. We had the privilege earlier in the year, me and Margaret, I can't remember what month, October, I think, of visiting Mike Danner in Italy, in Bologna, in their church. And I was preaching there on the Sunday morning. And we had some prayer at the end. And Margaret prayed for this woman who came forward with a caliper on her leg, you know, one of those calipers. And she was instantly healed. And she took a caliper off and was swinging it around her head, and everyone was dead excited. And, you know, you could tell, you could feel the faith as she came up. You could feel this faith for this woman to be healed in Margaret's heart and faith and in mine. And she was instantly healed. And then, because we had such a good morning and God was moving, so another pastor was there. And he came and asked this pastor, "Can this man come and preach at my church tonight?" and because there was something wrong with his voice. And Mike Danner said, "Well, I'll ask him," you know. And he came and said, "Martin, is this pastor from Padua? He wants to know if you want to preach at his church tonight." And I said, "Yeah, we're not doing anything else. Margaret, should we go to Padua?" We always liked St. Anthony of Padua, being good Catholics when we were young. So I thought, "Oh, go to Padua, where Anthony preached. Sounds good." So we were arranging to do that. And then I said, "We'll need a translator or interpreter, you know." He said, "Oh, yeah, no problem." He said, "Actually, the interpreter is this woman who's just had her leg healed." So faith is reported all over the world, isn't it? She came, I said, "Bring your skills, but also bring that caliper with you to the church and show them that Jesus is real, that faith works. We need to keep believing in healing, don't we? Believe the miracles. Believe. I got frustrated with some of our family, over Christmas. She's so unlike me. But we were with a bunch of our relatives, not our immediate family, actually, but, you know, a bunch of our relatives and stuff, and everyone was waxing eloquent. I was only half listening, actually, you know, it's Christmas, but I was... They're all waxing eloquent about the flu jab, you know. "Oh, the flu jab. Oh, yeah, I've had mine. Have you had yours? Oh, you know, you can get it if you're this now, and you can get it if you're that now." For some reason, I sort of just came into the conversation in my head. And for some reason, do you know what? I think it was the Lord. I felt agitated by it, actually. And I said, "Excuse me." And everyone sort of looked at me. I said, "Does anyone still believe in God in this family? I mean, I'm not against the flu jab. You want to get the flu jab? Get all the jabs you want. But does anyone believe that God keeps us from sicknesses and diseases anymore? Does anyone believe that he heals? Of course we get sick. We get healed. Many times a year I get healed. Because it's the instant I get a sniff or any speck of anything. You know, is that the heating too high? Or what's that thing where you get hot? Thank you. A temperature. Is that a temperature? Or is the heating on too high? You know, but I tell you what, if I think it's a temperature, Margaret, would you pray for me? Boys, would you pray for me? I haven't got time to be sick of you. I haven't got time to be ill. I've got to keep going, brothers and sisters, for Jesus. And healing is available to us. I'm not condemning you if you get the flu jab. I'm not condemning you if you get sick. Just don't come near me. Let's keep believing that Jesus heals. I was so challenged by Harry and Gloria's communion talk. I don't know about you, if you heard that a couple of weeks ago, but Harry got up and sort of read it from a bit of paper, Harry style. And me and Gloria do communion every day. I thought, that's interesting. And we pray for healing every day while we have communion. And I've been healed of diabetes. Thought, wow. And Gloria's been healed of arthritis. And you see them. They're fit as fiddles, aren't they? Because you have communion every day and they have simple faith. They believe, brothers and sisters, God is real. Believe. And those stories are what go around the world and around your family. No one's interested in religion. Faith is reported all over the world. And it was spoken about all over the church that these people in Rome who worshipped these idols and all the thousands of Roman gods had been them and were now believing in Jesus, in his death and resurrection, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and seeing miracles and lives changed and people. That story was going out all over the world. Have you heard what's happening in Rome? Have you heard what's happening in Rome, you know? It's not just Jerusalem. It's not just around here. It's happening in Rome as well, the capital of the whole empire. Yeah, faith gets reported. Let's have faith, brothers and sisters. So we see miracles and it gets reported. And then he says, your faith is being reported all over the world. Verse 9, God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his son, is my witness. You know, serve God with your whole heart. Are you serving God? Just have a think now, where's the area where I'm serving God? Or the areas? And then think, Lord, is it with my whole heart? I want to serve God with my whole heart. Help me. You know, he's the way to serve. If you see a need, do it. If you get asked, you do it. And then in the gift that God has given you, you do it. Paul was preaching with the gift that he'd been given. He said, I preach God with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his son. You know, but We serve God in many ways, don't we? Many ways over our life, and that service often changes God's. I'd like you to do this. Thank you very much. Now I'd like you to do this. Thank you. Can you go and help them? Thank you. Can you? He's got, there's plenty to do for God. We must be serving God while we can. Brothers and sisters, don't get to heaven and think, oh, I wish I'd done more. I wish I'd given more. Our money can change other people's lives, can change lives. Don't go to heaven with a big bank account. Go to heaven with a big bank account. Go to the heavenly bank full, you know, by giving it away, using it to serve God. You know, there's nothing wrong with making money. Not at all. God can bless you and make you incredibly wealthy like he did Abraham and Isaac and all those guys. But they used their money to extend the kingdom of God. That's the point. Wesley, through all of his tracts and his books, and especially the hymns they were selling hymn books. The songs were piling out of them. For 50 years, they had a lot of wealth, the Wesley brothers. You know, he was one of the most wealthy people at one point, John. But John also said, when I die, but he also employed personally 100 full-time preaching evangelists. Is it 400? Actually, it was 400 full-time preaching evangelists from that money. And he said, when I die, if you find on my person or in my any of my possessions more than £10, call me a thief and a liar. Because he was very wealthy. He just wasn't keeping it. He wasn't interested in money. Jesus said, I've just read it in Matthew, the Bible in the year. He said, you cannot serve God and money. You can't do it. You can't serve both. You have to serve one or the other with all of your heart. It's impossible to serve both. So you must serve the Lord, and then you're free from your money or whatever else to do. And he says, God is my witness how I constantly remember you in my prayers at all times. When should we pray? At all times. You know, just pray all the time. Just walk with God through your day. Pray about the shopping. Pray about the bargains. Pray about the car if it's struggling. Pray about your marriage. Pray about your children. Pray about your job. Pray about everything. Just walk with God all your life. Because it's the new year. I started reading through the Bible in a year again. I've tried it a few times. I always get to, like, you know, February the 2nd. But I started again trying. And when I got to that little passage in Genesis where it mentions how old people got and things, I was so tempted to skip it. So tempted to skip it. Because it's a big list, isn't it, of, you know, people with ridiculous names. I mean, why didn't just call them Frank and John and Harry, you know? Why'd they have to be called Mashabukukuka? And all that, you know. And, you know, Mashabukukuka, it was, you know, lived to be 150. Then he had kids. Thought, well, they didn't rush things those days, did they? Takes his time. 150. Then he had kids. Then he lived another 350 years. All in all, he lived 790 years. Then he died. Okay, I'll read the next one. Then this thing, he lived so long, he had kids. He lived a bit longer, he died. He had kids. He lived a bit longer. He died. I thought, oh, it sounds like normal life. It is, isn't it? Hey, it's life without God, isn't it? Actually. You live a bit, you have kids, you live a bit longer, you die. You live a bit, you have kids, you live a bit longer, you die. That's life without God. Then I came to Enoch. Oh, man, it hit me like a hammer. It didn't even say lived. It says, Enoch walked with God. Ooh. That's a different way of living. And he had kids. And he lived after that. But then he didn't die. He didn't die. He says he walked with God and was not because God took him. I thought, oh yeah, I'll have that, please. I'll live like that. And thank God, since I was 17, I've lived like that. I've walked with God. I mean, you know, I haven't preached for a while here. You know, and if you're wondering what me and Margaret have been doing while you haven't seen us, we've been walking with Jesus, haven't you? Yes. Every day, you just walk with God. Every day you pray, every day, if you fall, like Emily so lovely said in that prophetic thing about the lady, if you fall, you get up, Jesus helps you. If you sin, you get forgiven. You walk with God, amen? That is what life is. That's all that matters, that you walk with God every day and that you have a real relationship with him every day. Then you walk with him through trouble. You walk with him through hurt. You walk with him through forgiveness issues. You walk with God. And guess what? When we've finished our lives, we won't die. Jesus said, whoever follows me will never die. Because he's the Lord of life, the King of life. If you walk with God, you don't die. You just walk straight into his presence from this world. You walk with God at all times. Enoch walked with God. Let's walk with God, brothers and sisters, through just what being with him every single day, praying through everything at all times. He said, I long to see you that I may give you a spiritual gift to make you strong. Spiritual gifts make us strong, don't they? The gift of tongues helps you pray. The gift of faith helps you heal. The gift of, you know, joy keeps you going and is contagious to other people. The gift, brothers and sisters, these are gifts. The Holy Spirit this morning has gifts for you. He loves giving gifts. When I used to travel a lot in different nations, not so much now because I travel so much and it's just bopping around Europe really, and I can't afford it, but I used to get the kids something every time I went away. It's a big deal when you got a big family. I used to have a suitcase filled with gifts. You know, years ago when you used to go to India, the pound went a long way. I used to get all the girls saris and all the lads awesome. Oh, Margaret, beautiful gold earrings and gold things from India. Fantastic. Proper treasure. You know, I'd come back and open my suitcase. Kids would be, Dad, it's good to see you. But you've opened the suitcase. Gifts. Gifts for all the kids. It's like the Holy Spirit. Every time you come to church, every time you gather, every time you get in that small group, every time you visit that home, the Holy Spirit's there with gifts for you. Gifts. Ask and receive, Jesus said. He who asks, receives. Get receiving. Spiritual gifts to help you. Spiritual, supernatural, undeserved gifts for you, he has. And then Paul says this very interesting little passage. He says, I long to see you that I may impart some spiritual gift to you to make you strong. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, I planned many times to come to you, but I've been prevented from doing so up until now. Good to know that even people like the Apostle Paul make plans that don't work. Brothers and sisters, God has a plan, thank God, and we have to fit with it. And it's good to make plans. It is. Make plans, but don't worry if they seem to get prevented. Many times we just use human logic. So God speaks, we're at A, and God speaks to us and gives us a beautiful promise. He says, you are at A, but I'm going to take you to C. And you think, oh, hallelujah, you tell people. And you think, right, I know what I'm going to do now. I'm just going to take I'm going to B next. It's obvious, isn't it? A, B, C. And you step off A and go straight to X. What? Then to H, then to, you know. But sure enough, you end up in C, don't you? Because God is faithful, but he takes you his route. Paul wanted to get to Rome as soon as he heard there was stuff happening. But you know what? God had his route. And it was a very different route than he might have chosen. First of all, he was going to Jerusalem to experience a riot and to nearly get pulled to pieces and nearly die. And the prophet said to him, don't go. It's interesting. The prophets, they knew what was going to happen. The prophets. Prophets are very important to the church and all ministry. You need to be hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit all the time. But prophecy on its own gets lost. When prophets knock around with prophets, you're in for trouble. Prophets need to be under the apostolic ministry and in the wisdom of all the rest of the church, because it can be very accurate, but not necessarily know exactly how to apply it and do it. They don't. So we had prophets saying to Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. You're going to get battered. I know I'm going to get battered. Thanks very much. You're absolutely 100% spot on, but I'm going. because God told me in every city I'm going to get battered. So, you know, what's the news? But thank you very much. And he went to Jerusalem, and he did get battered and he did get bound. And he was a prisoner then for 2.5 years. He went to prison. Well, but that wasn't his choice. I'm going to Rome. Yeah, via a good beating, via a dangerous riot, and 2.5 year prison cell sentence, my friend. Thanks. And but in that prison, he wrote these letters that we read today. You see, God has a plan. It's a better plan. You might be stuck. You might be restricted. You might be at home. You might be waiting to do the great thing. Brothers and sisters, if you're walking with God, listen, you're doing the great thing now. Raising those little children, walking out of meetings, missing half the talk, Emily. It's frustrating. You think, why can't I get God? God's with you in the crash. Okay, you stay there and he's definitely with you. But he's with you in the crash. He's with you at home, mothers. God is with you all the time. He's with you at work. He's with you in the office. You don't have to be some prayer meeting for God to be with you. He is with you. He's working out his plan. Don't be afraid. He'll get you to see. Your promises are real. The destiny is real. It will come. It will happen. God's not in any rush. He's doing something with you. It's okay. Trust the Lord. Walk with the Lord. And you get discouraged sometimes. Don't worry. It's all part of the journey and the transformation. You're 2.5 years in prison. Then he had a shipwreck where everyone nearly died, but they didn't die because Paul was on board. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Because he had a plan. And then he went to Malta and he evangelized all the island. Oh, thank you, Lord. I think your plan's better. Then he gets to Rome and he's not running all over the place. He's in a little house, but they're all coming to him. And for a couple of years, before he gets beheaded on that Arian way, he is preaching and teaching, and God has a plan. He's going to take you to heaven, his route. So go his route, eh? By trusting him. We can have plans, but sometimes they feel like they're prevented, but it's okay. Trust God, keep going. We had a plan to get that back room, but up until now, we've been prevented. We had a plan to buy this whole block, up until now, we've been prevented. God hasn't left us. He's with us. He does his own thing, his own way. We have to trust him and go with him all the way. And then, lastly, everyone deserves to hear the gospel. He says, look, I want a harvest among you, just as I've had among you, the non-Jews. And I'm bound both to Greeks and non-Greeks. He's not even saying Jew and Gentile there. He's saying, you know, the Greeks had this massive philosophical and, you know, they had the language and the philosophy and all the writing and the literature. The Romans had the political power and the courts, but the Greeks had the culture. They really influenced everything. He said, I'm bound to the Greeks, non-Greeks, to wise, foolish people, uneducated people, it's irrelevant. I'm bound to them all. I feel like I owe them the gospel, you know, and we owe the gospel to people, don't we, brothers and sisters? You know what? We owe it to the gospel. Thank you for being here. Thank you for coming to church. Well done. Jesus loves you. It's good for you. It's good for all of us to get together. But you know what? We're not here for ourselves. That's why we're doing red cards. That's why we're doing tattoo. I don't mind being thin on the ground if we're taking ground. It's all right. It's all right to split the worship team and not have a mega band if it's two bands. Oh, that's all right. We're taking ground, brothers and sisters. We're not here for ourselves. We owe the world the gospel. We bound to them. You know, they deserve to hear it from us. Help us, Lord, to use the pens and the alphas and any means possible and the gospel nights on these circuits and our own daily lives more than anything. Shining for Jesus, daring to speak, you know? Don't be silenced. Keep speaking. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And that word shame means a feeling of intimidation that shuts your mouth. Wow. A feeling of intimidation. Paul was among people who, you know what, they hated the Jews, they hated the Christians. It's so easy to be quiet. I'll just keep my head down. I'll just be quiet. It's so tempting, isn't it? For all of us, for me, with the neighbours, you know. Shall I say something? Oh, I've said something before. I'll leave it. Oh, I won't say it. You know, it's so tempting. The devil loves us to shut our mouths, to be intimidated into silence. Christians, shut up. Everyone else, yeah, we'd love to hear. Gay rights, yes, please, tell us about that. Muslim issues, yeah, please, we'd like to hear that. Save the whale, yeah, come on, let's see about those poor whales. Everyone has a right to speak. Jesus, shut up. Jesus, that's offensive. That's offensive. Yeah, it is offensive. Jesus, it's offensive. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. The cross is offensive to everyone. It tells the whole world, you're sinners. You're going to hell unless you repent. Oh, it is offensive. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. Because he said, I realize that when I speak it, it's the power of God for everyone in that crowd who believes. Anyone who believes, they're saved. They're saved. They're saved through believing. That's why we've got to speak it. It's not what to do with us. It doesn't matter whether we're beaten up or battered. Especially if you're Stuart, he can be beaten up and battered. I don't mind. But what matters is that we speak the gospel. We can share it politely. You can share it in a British way. You can share it how you like. But as you share it, the power of God is there, isn't it? To save the lost. I always love that story of Bobby and Cannon and Bobby Ball. You know, who remembers Cannon and Ball? You know, they were the most famous British comedy act in the whole of, but they were proper sinners, you know. They hated each other and they never spoke to each other for like nearly 20 years, 10 years working together. Never spoke to each other, came in the stage either side, did the thing together, what, hated each other. They were proper, full-on sinners. Bobby Ball was like a little gangster. He had a load of bouncers around him. He used to beat people up and he was absolutely addicted to lust. Loads of women every night. He was married. He didn't care. He was a full-on sinner. But one day, he was doing a show. And the local minister there was doing his usual prayer time, his little prayer time, like me and you. He's a nobody in this world's eyes. But like Ananias, he was used by God. And God spoke to this local minister and said, Bobby Ball is at the local theatre this week. Go and tell him the gospel. Well, I don't know what went on between that minister and the Lord. But God bless that man. He did. And he got access into his dressing room. And Bobby Ball was all, what do you want? And he said, I've got a message for you from God. God says, Jesus loves you. And you need Jesus. You need him in your life. He said, F off. I've got it. He grabbed his car key. He said, I've got a Rolls Royce, mate. A Rolls Royce. What do I need, Jesus? They were millionaires, you know. Several times over, these two. I've got a Rolls Royce. Why would I need Jesus? Get out. F out. And he left. He probably thought, won't be doing that again. Thanks very much. I'll go back to just doing my nice little services. Thank you very much. The minister gets a call the next day. Bobby Ball would be very grateful if you'd go and have a talk to him. He goes to his dressing room. Bobby Ball's on his knees. Please tell me more about Jesus. I need Jesus. Are you right? You're right. Please help me. My life's an absolute mess. I couldn't sleep last night from what you said. The gospel, brothers and sisters, is the power of God for everyone who believes, because he just chose to believe. It was power in his life right there. He got on his knees with him. He led him in a prayer of repentance. He put his trust in Jesus. And there and then, Bobby Ball was marvelously saved. He stood up. He said, I'm like a new man. He went outside. He said, I saw a woman walking down the street. He said, for the first time in, I can't remember how long, I didn't have lustful thoughts and undress her in my mind. He thought, he knew I'm saved. I'm saved. He went, jumped in his Rolls Royce, drove straight back home. He went to see his wife, who was on all sorts of medication, a life of hell. He went in, he said, love, I'm sorry. Our life's been an absolute mess, but I've found Jesus, and he's forgiven me, saved me. Don't worry, love, he's going to heal you, and everything's going to work. And he did. Totally transformed his life. That was Tommy Cannon. But every cannon needs a ball. That be ball. Every ball needs a cannon. Amen. It's true. Need each other, don't we? And then Tommy. Who's the nice one? The nicer one. Tommy Cannon. Tommy Cannon, who we had at the Endeavour pub that night. Do you remember? Were you there that night? We had him at the Endeavour pub and packed the place out because he's a born-again Christian now. And he got saved as well. They'd never spoken together for 10 years, but Bobby went and knocked on his door. He said, I'm sorry. What? He was shocked to see him. I'm sorry, I've been an absolute nightmare. He said, would you please forgive me? Jesus has come into my life. He told me. He told us, he thought, ah, blinking heck. Here he goes on another little flash in the pan, you know. But he said over the next weeks, he saw him so changed with the staff, so changed. He was shook by it. And he said, I agreed to go to church with him. He said, I can't remember what the man said at the front. He said, but I just remember him saying, if you want Jesus, put your hand up. And he thought, oh, that's not me, not me. Then he looked and his hand was up. And he said, before I knew what was happening, I was walking to the front. He said, and I gave my life to Jesus. He said, and it's the best thing that ever happened to me. And me 16th girlfriend I'd been with. He said, I used to keep a woman every year and then just change them like that. He said, I married her. So we're both Christians now, isn't it? Hey, the gospel works, doesn't it, brothers and sisters? I was at King's Church last week, and Phil said to me there, oh, we haven't seen people saved for quite a while. Will you preach the gospel? I said, yeah. And he said, you know, we haven't had an alpha, and we haven't had... And you know what? Honestly, I think between 10 and 20 people got saved, put their hands up, came forward. One woman came forward. She was dancing around Margaret in tears, and a big, tall husband came forward, and he was in tears and laughing and hugging me, and she'd been praying for him for 35 years to be saved. And they said, oh, he's a grand master in the Freemasons. I said, grand master. Said he's just met the grand master, love, don't worry. And he was beautifully saved, and he's crying, and oh, isn't the gospel awesome? It works, doesn't it? It works. Stand up, brothers and sisters. Don't you pray for you. And let's have an awesome year. Spreading the gospel. Loving each other. Praying. Believing. Lord, we thank you for the Apostle Paul, for his wonderful life. For the same stuff that always flowed out of him. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to us today. About the power of the gospel. And about us thanking you and praying and trusting you and walking with you. Lord, as we walk with you like that little minister do in his daily prayer times, then he's ready to be sent to minister and win Bobby Ball to you. We want to be ready, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you forgive all of our sins every time we ask. Instantly. Thank you for that beautiful red coat. Thank you that you're walking in front of us, helping us get stronger and stronger, and even running with you. Lord, we pray this year that we would run with you. We'd get stronger, we'd get healed, we'd get blessed. Lord, bless all my brothers and sisters. Give them an awesome day in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Would you give someone a hug next to you?